to see the sunshine coming through these windows today and to feel a little bit of the chill taken off, even if it's just for a little while. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And before I begin anything, I want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us this morning. Those of you whose faces are familiar, but we haven't seen for a while, it's good to have you warming your pew once again. Lewis, it is really good to have you here this morning. We are glad you are here. And I would actually like to ask if Refugio, if you would come forward. Here, after this moment, he is to be known as Cookie, okay? But we wanted to give his full name. This is good. Last week, when the session met, we were privileged and honored to have Cookie come and visit with us and indicate his desire to come and be a part of this fellowship of Christians here at Eastminster. He, along with the Wyatts and the Whitleys, were members at Southminster when they closed their doors, and he has been visiting us all of these years now, and like I said, finally made that decision that he would really like to be part of us. His story is fascinating. He is an incredible servant, has a son as a Presbyterian pastor also. And so I am glad that you are here. And as we told him in session, we have no doubt that he will be a blessing to us as we pray that we are to him. And so, Refugio, one of the things that I want to ask you is the very same thing I asked them or ask you at session, and it is just an affirmation of what we already know. And that simply is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And we know that he does. I want to have prayer. And at the end of the service, if you will join me, then I would ask for you all to welcome Cookie into our congregation. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you send people across our path in so many different and varied ways. And we are so glad that Cookie, as a person of faith, has come to this place and has realized and recognized that being part of a community of faith is not only good for his soul, but it is good, God, for our souls. And so we are so very grateful. I pray now that as we go into this relationship with him, that he will see the kind of disciples that you have called us to be, and that he will come alongside us and follow you in that journey for Cookie, for his family, and for his ministry, Lord. We are grateful. Amen. Okay, thank you. And yes, you can clap if you want to. As a matter of fact, you may be doing some, as Paul would say, some weeping and some rejoicing this morning. I had the privilege to be in the choir room just prior to coming in here. The music this morning is moving on two levels. It may move you to tears, but it will most certainly move you to joy. And as one of the choir members said, certainly feel free to let loose and clap if you want to. So I invite you to do that. We do have an announcement this morning from Bruce. I'll let you come up.
So last week, I was told by someone in this congregation who shall remain nameless, Charlotte, that I should not call these trash cans. So what we're going to call them is nutrition collection receptacles. Fair enough? Okay. So next week we wrap up the Super Bowl of Caring campaign. So far, very, very successful. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And that's what this is about. This is about feeding people who, without help, they would be going hungry. Someone also told me that we need, that there is a big need for fruits, canned fruits. Upside down. Someone else told me, who shall remain nameless, Charlotte, that great value, with the exception of pineapple, great value that you find at Walmart is just as good and just as nutritious as Del Monte or any other name brand. So, but not pineapple. Thank you. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Then another of our congregation, another member of the congregation, has generously started digging around and brought us a bag of money. So, there's a bag of money. Dig around in your drawer, in your change jar, in your pocket, your deep pockets. Dig out a bag of money and bring it, because we need those donations. If you have already donated, thank you so very much. So very much. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is a way to feed his sheep. Thank you. They do not. They can be, but they do not. Either way, thank you.
Okay. The other announcement I want to make sure that you are aware of is the congregational meeting and luncheon follows this worship service. It does not matter if you are a member of this congregation or not. Come, eat, fellowship, join with us. We would love to feed you as sheep this morning. So please do come. Do what? In other words, come, okay? Come and be fed like the multitude were fed. So that would be great. You see our joys and our concerns within the bulletin. A couple that I would add, Betty Crabtree asked me this morning if we would keep Linda Perez, a co-worker of hers, in prayer, who is dealing with breast cancer at this particular time. We have multiple people who are sick with flu. And so something that we used to not take so seriously, we are all taking much more seriously. And so for those who are sort of cloistered at home, we want to keep them in our prayers today. Also, Kathy Tim, Lily Mason, and Jezzy are at Shisey this weekend. They will be traveling back probably within an hour or two, so on their way back, let's remember them with safe travels. The Franco family, certainly keep them in our prayers. Our family, as Dorothy continues in that waiting mode, and we wait with her and continue every day to give thanksgiving for her faithfulness. Jacob. Well, you wouldn't believe it, Jacob, but I was going to say that. So, on the joyful side here, not that the other is not joyful, a couple of things that, one that I've been remiss in announcing, and that is that Melody Davis has been yet promoted again, and she will go into the school year as the new assistant principal. And so, Melody, we are grateful and thankful with you. And yes, Jacob will be heading to Special Olympics next weekend. So, Jacob, our prayers go with you, and our hurrahs and go Jacobs go with you. And he will turn 33 right before Special Olympics starts. And so We are very grateful, Jacob. He's going to win. Yes, he is. We believe that. God is good. There is absolutely no doubt about it all of the time. And so this morning, as we prepare to worship, let us remember that wonderful phrase, God is good and all the time. Let us worship.
In the presence of God and in the company of one another, Let us wholeheartedly offer praise and thanksgiving for God's greatness and glory and power. Are the works of God, whose righteousness endures forever, righteousness made known through gracious and merciful acts.
Let us praise and worship God, who is holy and awesome, faithful and just.
Please be seated. The Apostle Paul tells us that what is most essential in our conduct as Christians is not knowledge, but love, and that what we know is less important than our being known by God. So we confess together the times when we have used knowledge in ways which put people down rather than build them up. When we see people being exploited because of lack of knowledge and do nothing.
God,
when we have idolized knowledge at the expense of loving and caring for others.
God, forgive us.
When we have ridiculed others for having a weak and feeble faith because they appear to lack wisdom.
God,
good news, the really, really good news for us is that God brings new life when we are worn and when we are tired. He brings new love for us when our hearts have turned hard-hearted. He brings forgiveness when we have wounded or when we have been wounded. And He brings the joy and the freedom of the Holy Spirit to us where we can be released of all that imprisons us within ourselves. So thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, who brings us hope, who brings us joy, and who forgives us. Amen.
God of life, of peace, of wonders that will not cease, by the power of your Spirit, be present with us now in the hearing, understanding, and living out of your word. Amen. The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Oreb on the day of the assembly when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.
Lesson comes from Mark's Gospel. And if you listened to the Old Testament, we remember that we had been promised a prophet who would speak the word of God. And here we find out that we have much more than a prophet. We have the Son of God who has come to speak a word to all who will listen. And so today we listen to what he has to say to us. They, meaning the disciples, went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath was over, he, meaning Jesus, entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught as one with authority and not just as the scribes. And just then, in the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, his fame began to spread throughout all of the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the wonderful word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing. The tools of sermon preparation that we receive in seminary are invaluable, and they really are foundational. But real ministry, as opposed to a classroom assignment, leaves us actually very little time to delve into those things that are invaluable and foundational. That's probably not true for pastors who are in larger churches whose responsibility basically is to prepare the sermon for each Sunday. But for most of us pastors, we sort of have a fuller plate. And just to make sure you know this, that is not a pity party. That is, as the old detective show would say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. But one of the study tools that I continue to find absolutely invaluable for me and foundational for me is looking at Jesus across the span of the Gospels. We all know that those writers had particular audiences in mind. They had particular purposes for what they wrote. And so some of the stories that are similar or those that have different themes have a sort of deep richness all on their own to those communities to which they were written. But when you take all of those Gospels together, and particularly the stories that are similar, they have this collective richness together. And it is a good discipline, not just for me as a pastor. It is a good discipline for all of us to delve into Scripture and to look at those things that are similar, to look at those things that are different. And what you know is that mostly for Matthew, Jesus is considered a teacher throughout the book. For Luke, Jesus has been called the great physician. He is the one who heals. He is the one who provides. He is the one who has good news for the poor and preaches release for those who are captive. And John, well, the best thing to say about John is that John shows a Jesus who is a Jesus of abundance. A little bit of water becomes more wine, and then you get a mega meal out of just a few fish and a little bit of bread. But then you get to Mark, and I'm sure as many years as you all have been in church, you get this, that Mark uses the word immediately all of the time. But Mark has Jesus being this busy, busy, busy man in everything that he does. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus is always busy, including his healing, his caring, his teaching, his providing. But unlike those birth stories of Matthew and Luke, and unlike the story of John, which begins with the mysteries of God being the light, Mark starts out with his introduction to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And then it is just a hop, skip, and a jump until he comes face to face with this unclean spirit. We heard that this unclean spirit actually begins to heckle Jesus as he is speaking. And as he is speaking with the authority of Scripture and as others are amazed, it is amazing that this one heckler gets it. You are the Holy One of God. In all of the commentaries that I have ever studied, there is no conclusion about why they think this man is unclean. He could be demon-possessed. He could have physical ailments. He might have mental disabilities. But what we do know is that these temple-going folk recognize that something is just amiss with this man. And the wonderful thing about Mark is kind of like the big reveal of having a baby these days. We don't have to wait until the end of the book. We don't even actually have to wait until the middle of Mark to find out who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do. Right off the bat, the story in Mark sets us up to know that Jesus has come with kingdom authority. He is the Holy One of God. And we are reminded that Jesus has come to oppose anything and everything and anyone that is going to try to steal away that joyful and abundant and saving grace that God has wanted for us from the beginning of time. It's good for us to know that Jesus is a teacher, yes, that he is a healer, yes, that he is a provider. But if we don't understand fully and believe and act upon the truth that Jesus has come with all authority on heaven and on earth, then we just might find ourselves in a confrontation with him also. But I don't want to make that sound like that is ominous, because if you think about it, this encounter with this unclean spirit actually leads to this uncleanness going away in this man. Jesus is always ready and willing and wants to release any kind of uncleanness, any kind of demon, any kind of thing that keeps us at a distance or brings a barrier between us and God. Mark is the one who reminds us that this possessed man is the one who immediately recognizes that Jesus can change him. And if Jesus can change this man, then Jesus can change any of us sinners that we are. Because in all honesty, from the description, the very brief description that we get from Mark's gospel, this man could be any of us sitting here. We have things sometimes that are pushed down so far in us. And we are afraid that if they come out, if we let them go, that they are so unclean, that they are so wrong, that even Jesus won't want to clean us. But Jesus is a healer of broken souls. And Mark tells us through the story of this man that he not only wants to heal our souls, he says you need to be listening to the word of God. And you need to believe that the Lord will heal you. The Lord will heal us. God already knows everything that we have done and promises to still be the keeper of our souls, which was sung so beautifully a few moments ago. Jesus has been given the authority to break down all of those barriers that seek to keep us close to our triune God. And so this morning, if you feel yourself at a distance from the Lord for whatever reason, hear His invitation, the Lord's invitation, to come close, to be healed, to be saved. And if you have been saved by the grace of God and believing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then keep acting upon that. We are part of a faith community who truly believes that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. If you'd like to be part of a congregation that believes that and acts on it, we would love for you to come and to fellowship with us. If you need to be closer, if you have things you need to visit with, we have any of us who would love to talk with you. But this morning, the real invitation comes from our Lord, who says, "May the healing peace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right now, in this moment, rest on you." Amen.
Please stand as we say what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Ghost?
This morning we have many to keep in our prayers, both joyful and both with sorrow and with compassion. We also have our community. We have our world. We have our country. We have the leaders of all who are walking into this new year. And I pray that their leading will be done with the wisdom of the Lord, and certainly with the Lord's compassion. This morning, I want to offer a prayer that I have used before because I think it reminds us of the wonderful provisions that our Lord gives us, even when we don't know that we need them or when we think we have it all. So, as we pray for those within our own community, let us pray from our hearts. I ask God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, and I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of others, and I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but I got everything that I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I, among all people, am most richly blessed. On this day, God, our prayers are many. Prayers for healing, for comfort, for wholeness, for steadfast faith in the face of questions, and certainly prayers for peace. For all of those whom we have named, for all of those that rest deep on our hearts, we ask your Spirit be with them. Be the strength, Lord, in our weakness, and clear our heads of any of the foolishness of believing that we can be our own gods. You are the healer, the provider, the Savior of our lives. And so steer our hearts to utter dependence on you. This we pray as we say together the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, this morning we ask that whatever we give this morning would be a sign of our gratitude to God and our understanding that God will use those gifts to make us and to make them proclaimers of God's good news. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
Oh, yeah.
as we say our prayer of thanksgiving. Generous
God, pray for us, Father Jesus, to make an offering of ourselves, not just our money. Teach us to make our money just. Fill us to make our money just in terms of your rules. To these purposes, we dedicate this offering and our lives. Amen.
See, I didn't lie to you, did I? Wonderful music allowing us to span our emotions this morning, remembering those wonderful words that Paul, together we rejoice, and together we can weep. And as we go from this place today, and hopefully as you join us in fellowship and meal, just know that the Lord is the healer of our souls. The Lord is our Savior. The Lord is the one who can bring us to a whole new life, as in W-H-O-L-E. So as we leave, may the love of God enfold you. May the peace of Christ surround you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be in you, among us, and may it go with us. Amen.